Good afternoon. It is 2 p.m.-ish. Welcome to WUVS 103.7 The Beat. This is Community Focus. As you may or may not know, this program is normally hosted by Gregory T. Roberts and myself. My brother Gregory T. has been out for an extended period of time and ill. So I ask you all to continue to say your prayers and send your best thoughts and wishes to him. In fact, not related, but I was out last week with a little illness, so it's good to be back. Let's get to our news and weather for today. Weather, low of 62, high of 83, but a beautiful sunny day. I say fall day, but we're actually, 2 days away from officially being fall? Saturday, 45% chance of rain, low 60, high 77. Sunday, 70% chance of rain, low 61, high of 72. Monday, 64% chance of rain. I'm sorry, 65% chance of rain with a low of 64 and a high of 73. Tuesday, the rain continues, low of 62, high of 74. On Wednesday, we have it partly sunny, low of 57, high of 73. And on Thursday, the sun is out in full, low of 52, high of 72. That is your weather for the next 7 days. Well, I usually start the program with five things, not top five, not five news items, but just five things. So this is just leftover stuff in my head that I want to get out, and I've gotten away from making them five news items. We're all newsed out. So these are just five things I'm dumping out of my brain today. If you've never heard of C.S. Lewis, again, I am a man of faith, but if you've never heard of C.S. Lewis, he wrote something called the Screwtape Letters. If you've never read those, take a look. They're actually letters written by Screwtape, who's a senior demon in hell, and he's writing to his nephew Wormwood, and he's writing him about and giving him instructions how to damage the human soul, how to corrupt the human soul. It's an interesting read. This also, again, with an eye toward news, and I'm not going to just talk about news. Remember, one of my favorite shows was The Closer. If you go on YouTube, type in The Closer, Serving the King. There's about a 4-minute clip there from season 2 of The Closer. Treat yourself and go on YouTube and check out that little clip. They call these the five freedoms. As you know, in 1788, the Constitution was signed. Few years later, they said, you know what? We got some problems. They made amendments to the Constitution. There are five of them called the five freedoms. They are of those first 10 amendments. They are the freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, and freedom to petition related to the government. I have a friend, we talk a lot, and people espoused and they talk about, we have this freedom, but take a few minutes from whatever you do this weekend, read those in the Constitution, and then just read how they have been interpreted and reinterpreted over the years, because currently they are all being interpreted in different ways. I'm 63 years old, and there's certain times in my life when the world specifically changed. The world changed in the 60s with the assassination of John Kennedy and Martin Luther King. The world changed in the 70s when President Nixon resigned. I believe the world changed back. I should say back. The world shifted in 1980 with the election of Ronald Reagan. I believe maybe you find some other points how many say the world changed. When the Berlin Wall came down, the world was different. The world is different. However you see that, I don't want you to delude yourselves in thinking that all those freedoms aren't seen the same way. They are definitely seen different today. All right, I'm going to get through this. Lighten it up, Melvin, okay? The Big Reds are 1-2. The Lions are 1-1. U of M is 2-1. and MSU is 3-0, which I didn't realize until today. Who do you feel the most comfortable about? Who are you the most concerned about? Put your allegiances, whether you're a Michigan or Michigan State fan. Who do you feel the most comfortable about having a good season? Who are you concerned about? Fifth point, what are you doing? Kind of goes back to my third point. Things are changing. Other than posting on Facebook, what are you doing? If you like the way things are going, what are you doing? If you don't like the way things are going, what are you doing? Okay, that's my five for today. This is Community Focus. We come to this program to be educated, to share information, to share things going on in our community, our state, our nation, and our world. Today we have guests from Voters Not Politicians. What an apropos title for an organization. Will you join me in welcoming to Community Focus our guest today?
Hi there.
Oh, how are you ladies doing today?
We're good. Yeah, pretty good.
I love the name. I love the name Voters Not Politicians. I think we all can get behind the name, however we see that, huh? It should be about the voters. Let me ask you all, would you first introduce yourselves to our guest?
Absolutely. So my name is Melinda Billingsley. I am the communications manager for Voters Not Politicians.
And I'm Mariah Bryant. I'm the director of programs for Voters Not Politicians.
Okay, thank you. And again, thank you both for joining us on the program today. I know we have you guys were active last fall, and we had some issues around election time, but we have elections coming up in November. And there's a petition floating around that you want to talk to us specifically about today. So I'm going to hand you all the mic. Talk to us about this petition and the concerns your organization has.
Yeah. So Voters Not Politicians is, you know, first and foremost, we are here for voters. That's what we do. So mm-hmm. as an organization, we really promote all things that are for our democracy and are for mm-hmm. strengthening our democracy. So that started back in 2018 when we championed the ending gerrymandering proposal that mm-hmm. ultimately passed. Michigan mm-hmm. voters passed it overwhelmingly, mm-hmm. And it ended partisan gerrymandering in Michigan. Yes. In 2022, we collected signatures for Promote the Vote 2022, which expanded ballot access. You know, mm-hmm. lots of voters love our early voting, absentee voting, all of those things yes. that we got with Promote the Vote 2022. And that's just what we do. You know, we promote democracy.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and we're doing that again this year as we engage in some work around some petitions that we're seeing in the field that are quite concerning, and they do not promote democracy. And Melinda okay. will talk a little bit about those. Okay. So what we have with these petitions is we've been calling them just voter suppression petitions because that's okay. what they are, pure okay. and simple. The goal of these petitions is to make it harder for people to vote. And you'll know them when you're out and about. If someone says to you, hey, do you want to sign a petition that promotes voter ID? Do you want to sign a petition about making sure only citizens vote? Those are the kinds of things you'll hear. And okay. what's the trick behind these petitions is that they are making it harder to register and to vote for eligible Michigan citizens, eligible voters. Okay. So that's the long and short of it.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Again, people catch you coming to the grocery store and, hey, want to sign this petition? Some people do. Does the specific petition have a name or a title to it or a heading across the top of it?
So, the interesting part here, because normally it does. You know, I think that's really telling, actually. When okay. we went out in 2018 with our petition, it was the Voters Not Politicians petition, right? It was the end gerrymandering petition. And we told everybody, we were very obvious about it in 2022. Promote the Vote 2022. You know, we were out there with that title. Yes. Everyone saw it. With yes. these petitions, they're sort of being sneakier. There's two okay. different petitions, first off, promoted by two different groups. And they will not, there's not a name they're all going under. There's not one particular way you can find them out and about. And they're sort of hiding themselves because they're trying to make it harder to vote. And what they don't want to do is get caught. They're okay. sort of relying on people not recognizing them out in the field because folks who know about this would be the first to say, hey, don't sign that. That's the one making it harder to vote.
Okay. So I know, again, I know people, again, they catch you coming out the stores like, hey, just sign this. What should, you know, when you get brushed like that, what should people say to people to approach them? Like, I know, again, you know, I'm going to throw this one out. If you can't see the title or name on the petition, don't sign it, because you don't want to sign a blank petition. And is that even legal to do that?
So on the petition, on all petitions legally, you have to have the 100-word summary. And that's the really important part here. What these circulators are counting on is folks not reading that summary. So at top, 100-word summary, no matter what the circulator says, that summary has to be legally true and accurate. So when the circulator is saying, oh, just sign this, it's about voting rights or something, don't just believe somebody. Read it yourself. Okay. General rule, do not sign something you did not read. Never sign something you did not read.
Lesson for life there.
So, yeah, and the same thing with this one. If you read it, you will see that it says things like requiring a passport or birth certificate when registering to vote, requiring in-person registration. It wouldn't let you register online anymore. These things that make it very much harder for everyday eligible Michiganders to go register and vote or update our registration, whatever we need to do. These petitions would take that away, and it says that right on the page. They won't say that out loud, but it is written right there at the top.
So let me, I've said this before. I was one of the skeptics in 2022. I was concerned about some of the changes, and I've said this not just because you guys are here. I have been impressed by how it opened up the opportunity for people to vote. I had some concerns. I've worked in local government quite a bit, and I had some concerns, but I have, I've been pleased how it opened up opportunity and barriers for people voting. So let me ask you this question. For people that don't know, and we promote this here at our station, we election time, we shut off the music, we promote people going out and vote. For people that still may not know, what is required for you to be eligible to vote?
Absolutely. So in the state of Michigan, you must be 18 or older, and you must be a citizen of the United States in order to register and vote. Well, there's pre-registration.
Yeah, I was going to say, and now thanks to 22-2, we have available to us the ability for 16 and 17-year-olds to pre-register so they can fill out a very similar voter registration form that once they turn 18, they are automatically registered to vote. So if they're, you know, for folks whose birthdays are really close to the election and maybe they don't have time in between that birthday and the election to go get registered, they can do that in advance and they can just show up on election day. In addition to that, of course, we have same-day voter registration.
Yes. Okay. So that's for the eligibility. And then when it comes to voting, Michigan has really strong voter ID laws. Those are already in place. They have been for years.
Okay.
You have to sign a legal document to make sure that you are who you say you are. It's called a legal affidavit. And that is required before you are allowed to vote. So there is already a voter ID law in place. Prior to 2020, Michigan actually had one of the strongest voter ID laws in the country. Other states have caught up, but we were ahead of the game.
Yeah. Now, and I know we're having a little trouble with our communication. I don't know if you guys, it clicked out for a second. So I don't know if you'll click back in and hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Maybe, okay, good. Well, you can hear me with the screen's frozen. So let me ask you this, and because we, you know, as these petitions are being presented, we know that the last few elections have been audited and reviewed and canvassed to death. When all that was said and done, what was the actual percentages or numbers for voter fraud, people voting, improperly?
Yeah. So in the state of Michigan, after our election, we had about 15 cases of possible ineligible people voting. That was out of
millions. Yeah.
I want to say, like, top of my head, I want to say it's like 5 million.
Yeah, I was going to guess about 9 million population. Yeah. So maybe 4 or 5 million. I can't get my calculator to figure out what percentage that is. But
it's a very, very small percentage of folks who are ineligible who even try to cast a ballot. And it's really important to know we caught them. Those folks are facing prosecution, right? Like, that's not just like a thing you get away with and it's super sneaky. No one will know. They're going to get away with it. No, there are laws in place and there are policies in place, and they do catch folks if they try to vote improperly.
And it's important to note, I think, that those policies and the burden of catching those folks falls to the state and the institutions responsible for protecting our voting process. That burden does not fall on everyday voters to have to, you know, bear that burden and make sure that others are following the letter of the law.
Yeah. I say this all the time. You know, if you actually voted and you watch the process, you go down to the clerk's office, you know, it's pretty hard to cheat on a mass scale with voting. It really, you got to really have an operation and trust some folks to really have any kind of mass scale cheating. Again, we've heard around the country when people tried it, again, they get caught.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I've worked as a poll worker as well, and I will say the exact same thing. It's not easy to vote all the time, okay? You got to fill out about three different pieces of paper. You got to have the ID or something. It's not exactly like, you know, you just getting something at the corner store. It's not that easy. Anybody just can't walk up and do it. So there are really strong policies in place in our elections. Sure. It's not easy to cheat. And again, you will get caught.
Yeah. So as we're ramping up for the 2024 November elections, any particular other than this petition that's being circulated, there's some other issues you all are involved in right now?
So for these 2025 municipal elections that we have in not all, but a lot of communities across the state of Michigan.
Yes, 25 in it. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Really what we're just focused on is making sure people are aware of them. You know, these are what we call off-year elections. So a lot of folks don't vote. Municipal turnout is really low, and it's really important. You know, municipal elections, local elections, that's when you decide your city council or your township representatives, your mayor, things like that. And these are the folks who have a huge impact on your everyday life. You know, when you're thinking, I want to fix these roads, but it's like the road in front of my school or the road outside my house. Those are your local roads, and local municipal elections is where that kind of things get decided. School board for some communities, local water boards, things like that. All the things that really affect your community very directly. That's what's on the ballot in these 2025 municipal elections.
Okay. Let me ask you this. We don't mind naming names around here sometimes. So who are the organizations that the current petitions that are going around, who are the organizations that are sponsoring those petitions?
Yeah, so the petitions that we have going around right now, these voter suppression petitions, they're being sponsored by self-interested politicians who don't want people to vote and by national special interest groups. So there are two groups of people who are really trying to make sure that politicians can pick their voters. They're trying to pick and choose who is allowed to participate in our elections and participate in democracy, who is allowed to have a voice. The groups are called Americans for Citizen Voting and the Committee to Protect Voters' Rights. But we kind of tell people, it's like, do not listen to the name, because they'll name themselves like Americans for Petting Puppies or something ridiculous if they think it will convince you. What you need to actually know is who is behind them, where is the money coming from, and it's folks who are trying to prevent you from voting.
And these names are also on the bottoms of the petition. So in addition to reading the 100-word summary, these names legally have to be printed on the petition. So that's always a good giveaway of something you shouldn't sign.
Okay. So let me ask you guys, any other on the horizon, are there any other, and now we hear some discussion about some, whatever you can believe coming out of Washington, but mail-in voting, and there was some pushback that, you know, both Democrats and Republicans kind of like that. Absentee ballot, but Michigan, where we have a lot of people that are snowbirds, they like the absentee ballot. Are there any concerns now about I know we have this petition, but any pushback against those that really become popular amongst voters in Michigan?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of talk and chatter at the federal level from this federal administration against all kinds of voting. And really just all kinds of like pushing back on all different ways that people vote, the ways that people register to vote. And again, it's the same thing of politicians who are trying to pick and choose who is allowed to participate. Yeah. So at Voters Not Politicians, we are always on the lookout for any of these kinds of attacks, whether they're coming from the state level, national interest groups, the federal administration. And we are always sending out alerts to people to let them know. So if something is coming through Congress or anything like that, we have what's called our Dial for Democracy program. You can actually sign up for it on our website at bnp.vote/dial. And that'll give you updates when these things happen so that you can reach out to your congressperson, your senator, your representative, whether that's state or federal, to say, hey, we like being able to vote and we do not need anyone interfering in our elections. Just try to get their policies across.
Okay, good. Well, thank you all for joining us on the program. Again, tell folks how they can get in touch with the organization.
Yeah, so you can get in touch with Voters Not Politicians on our website at votersnotpoliticians.com. If you are interested in combating these voter suppression petitions, sign up at bnp.vote/DTS. That stands for decline to sign, because you should decline to sign any petition that is trying to suppress your vote. And you can also find us on social media at Voters Not Politicians or at Not Politicians.
Okay. I always like to make sure we've covered all the things you guys wanted to cover today. Was there anything else that I didn't ask you? We want to make sure our audience grasp before we close out our interview this afternoon.
Right. So I'll just say it's so important that every citizen remembers that, you know, you have a constitutional right to vote and you shouldn't sign it away or give it away for anything, much less for fear-mongering people who try to tell you, oh, this will make you safer. You know that you are safe. You know your rights. So don't give them up. And also stay educated. Make sure you read any petition, read it. and just stay up to date. Again, you can follow us on social media at Voters Not Politicians, and we will help you stay up to date with all things democracy and voting related.
Okay. Melinda Mariah at Voters Not Politicians. Thank you all so much for joining us on Community Focus today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. We're going to take a slight break, folks, and we'll be back with our next guest. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Community Focus. We're still trying to get in touch with our next guest. We have some things. This is live. And, you know, just as live things go, sometimes we have issues. So we are expecting our next guest in the studio any moment. So in the meantime, we do it. We fill time. We talk. We have conversations. For those of you that don't know, again, this is Community Focus. This is On Your Radio. 103.7 The Beat. And it's also, we are on Facebook Live. You can go to WUVS 103.7 The Beat to our page and to our program Community Focus. During the program, if you have comments, if you want to, we don't take phone calls, but if you want to make comments on the Facebook Live, you can feel free to do that. At any time, we welcome your comments during the program, and we try to read those as we conduct our interviews. So we're going to get ourselves together here for our next guest. And this is Friday, September the 19th. I believe fall starts on the 20th. So get your bags and your rakes ready. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to put your hands together, as my friend likes to say, and welcome to the studio, my next guest. He's been doing a lot of publicity lately. I met this young man a couple years ago. Would you welcome to the studio, Eric Carter, Carter Funeral Home. Hey. Welcome to the program.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you to scoot over toward me a little bit. We'll get you all right. Got you in the camera. I know that it's a busy time for you.
It is. It is.
Good. For folks that don't know, tell people a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So I am the proud owner of Carter Funeral Home. I am grateful to be able to be in a position to serve my community that I have done for years. Okay. I have, again, started as a little boy. I worked at Toombs Funeral Home, and I started under Mr. Toombs. And the things that he have embedded in my life and have direct me to be the best I can be now. Okay. And so I started there, and then I went on. I went to mortuary school, then I worked at some predominant funeral homes to get some more education and knowledge under my belt. And then God has saw fit the beginning of this year to bless us with a nice facility that we was able to open up officially on June 27th. We served our first family July 1st, and we've been serving ever since then. And so I'm just proud to be a part of my community and can serve my community with honesty, transparency, committed dedication, honor, respect, and compassion.
Okay. You know, I've worked in two different communities where we had cemeteries. And so
absolutely.
Like, walking through a cemetery for me was just like work.
Absolutely.
So what makes a young man, you know, people, you know, you tell me we don't say mortician too much. We're not the
professional
field, but what makes a young man like you decide this is the field I want to go into?
Well, if you speak with a lot of my colleagues, friends that are already in the business with me, they would tell you it was nothing that made them want to do it. There's some things as a kid that made them probably be interested in it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when we have a desire that, we interested in this occupation, but nevertheless, that actually our gift from God. And so I always wanted to be in law enforcement.
Okay.
But as a kid, I always wanted to drive the hearse. It was something about the hearse. I just always just wanted to drive. Uh-huh. And so that's kind of what led me into wanting to be a part of the funeral industry. Uh-huh. But then when I saw the background of what it does, as in, you know, the presentation, you know, you may have a loved one that come in that is not in a great state. And now you fix that person up to make them look nice, and that family is pleased. Mm-hmm. There may be a time where that family, you know, lose someone devastating unexpectedly, and you're able to help that family get through that grieving process. So it was more of you helping people at their lowest moments in their life. And so that will cultivate me to be able to say, hey, this is something I want to do. This is something I want to help. And, you know, it's helping everybody. It's not like you isolated to only these many people or that many people, or, you know, you have a business where only, you know, certain people are going to come, but you have a business that everyone one day will come. And if you do a good job and you serve the people well, it's not about, you know, all African-Americans coming to my front of home. We is a multicultural front of home. So we serve Jewish, we serve Muslims, we serve Caucasian, we serve Hispanics, African-Americans, we serve all abroad. So again, it's just something that was gift to me that, hey, God is blessing you with this, and this is what he wants you to do for his people.
Okay, awesome. So tell folks about Carter Funeral Home, location, and
absolutely.
You know, people have choices, which is good.
Absolutely.
Tell folks, you know, it's not a commercial, but you know, we're here. So
absolutely.
Tell folks, why would they want to come to Carter Funeral Home?
Carter Funeral Home is located at 3355 Merriam Street in this great city of Muskegon Heights. Best way to describe to get there, if you're coming from Peck Street in Muskegon Heights and you're going south towards Mona Lake, when you hit that S curve, instead of going down the hill to get to Mona Lake on Hoyt Street, you go to opposite street, which is Merriam. So
most
it's between.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's how you can get there. Or if you're coming off Seaway Drive and you're going to turn where the old Denny's used to be, it's a sign that say Muskegon Heights, which kind of the railroad tracks divides us with Mona View. And you can take that exit where say Muskegon Heights, and we're next to like Mocha and the radio station in that same area. Our signs is getting out next week, so it'll be out there for people to be able to know where we located. We have a 9,000 square feet, new modern facility. We can host up to 300 people in our building, as well as we have two chapels, a larger chapel, a smaller chapel. We also have a family center where they can eat and gathering. We have a nice deck and balcony, and our facility is really nice and up modern. And we love for anyone that did not get a chance to come to the open house, please stop in. We'll be loved to give them a tour. But to your question, why would anyone that lose a loved one would choose Carter Funeral Home? One is because we care. Mm-hmm. We care for families. When they walk through our doors, we are a funeral home that cares for them right then and there. What we do is we let them know that we care for them, as in we treat them like they are our family. Okay. Our prices are is unbelievable, where we work to accommodate to the needs of families and their financial needs. Doesn't matter if you got a quarter, a dollar, a penny, or a million, we're never going to turn you away. We're going to serve you like you have a lot. Again, our presentation, I talked before last week, I was speaking to somebody and I told them that one thing about us is our presentation. My staff, we're all apart. We're going to dress the same. We're going to walk the same. We're going to talk the same. We hold a high standard in class of excellence of serving families. Presentation of their loved one, they're going to look pleasant and at peace. Despite the circumstance, we work hard in our prep room to make sure that the deceased loved one look very present and at peace. Again, not only the prices and not only our presentation, but because the love we share and spread to others, we look at some things that we can change and we getting in the community. Last week, we just did a free gas giveaway. Okay. I wish I could have gave the whole.
I was sick all weekend.
Okay.
I ran out to grump to the church and I was like, what is going on around here? I saw the cars. So that's what was good. I never did.
Absolutely.
So you're doing a free gas giveaway.
So we did it last Saturday. We did a free gas giveaway to about 100 cars.
You had lined up around the block.
Yep, lined up on a block. And I'm telling you, people I walk past now, they say, yeah, I didn't get a chance to get there, but I still want my gas. But again, we were able to bless the community because we only been open up since the end of June, beginning of July, and the amount of families that have poured out to us and just support us, we want to give back to the community right away. Yeah. And people were saying, well, Eric, don't you think it's too soon? You just start. Listen, no. We got our boots on the ground and we running. Okay. We're going to show the community we're here. We have many things that we're going to do in this year with the community. So hope they stay tuned to events. But yeah, we are different from the home digital culture, and we're going to continue to give that high standard of excellence to this community to show them that, you know, when death come, that take that burden off you, put it on us because we do care.
We got a question from one of our listeners, Michael Anthony Smith, who's former Muskegon Heights resident, lives in Texas now. He says, are you from Muskegon? What he probably said is, who are your people?
Yes. So I am originally from Muskegon. I was born and raised here in Muskegon. My family is a lot of people know Cracker Jack. So that's part of the Hathorn family. And far as my great grandmother, Gus and Mildred, Terry, Ernestine, Tim. A lot of people know my uncle CC from Smith Tire. So I'm real embedded in the community, and everybody will tell you like we some way can. So I might say you my sister, my brother, but some way. So yes, I am from Muskegon. And born and raised here, graduated, went to hikes all my life, but I graduated from Orchard View, and then I went over to Mortuary School in Chicago.
So why I have you here, and you know, I'm a pastor.
Absolutely.
Man, you know, dealing with death and funerals is not one of our fun times. So let's
absolutely
talk to the community. We'll put on your other hat, you know, in addition to your own funeral home. But what are some of the things we still have to tell our community? And, you know, we're all going to, until the Lord comes up, we're all
going
to have to deal with somebody's funeral home somewhere. What are some of the messages we still need to make sure we're telling our community in terms of preparing for funerals, death, those kind of things?
Absolutely. Funny, Pastor, that I just made a live on our website about thanking the community for the giveaway to come, but I also was talking about pre-need, pre-arrangements. Yes. It is important, and this is for the community, not just for any community. We do not want to talk about death, right? We don't want to talk about it, but it's a necessity. It's important for we to discuss that with our children, with our family, because oftentimes I find that families will come in and I'm telling you, they have no idea what their loved one want. And that is a hardship. They already trying to deal with it emotionally and mentally. And now they got to make these hard decisions to grieve and to make those arrangements to finalize their loved one. But it's hard when, you know, the loved ones haven't left out instructions. That's like, you know, if you go in, if you want me to drive a car, how do I learn how to drive a car? There's instructions. Yes. If to get the best out of a car, there's an owner's manual. If you read those instructions, they're going to tell you. If I'm building a, say I'm building a cabinet, It's going to give me instructions. I can't just go in and do it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be difficult. I might can get it done, but it's going to be difficult. And that's the same thing in the funeral industry. We have to teach and talk about death. We got to talk about what do we want to happen. Well, it ain't just say, you know, Pastor, you know, I just want to be cremated. No, what do you want to see with cremation? You know, I want to be cremated. I want you to take care. Who do you want to handle your arrangements? Because I'm telling you, when people pass away, that can divide a family as well.
You know, it's funny, it's a situation I know of. There was a cremation and people was like, okay, who want the ashes? You know, and nobody had thought about it. It's like, oh,
yeah. So you want to get those outlined. But again, this is one of the biggest things that in our community that people don't realize is that if you have insurance, let your family know, this is my insurance paper. These is, because there's no way to front a home. There's no database in this world that can figure out, my mama got insurance, but can you look it up and see if she... No, you have to know the insurance name, and then we can give them the information, and then they can be able to try to see if they have a policy. But again, if you bar on your policy, you got to let your family know, because then they know how much you got.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, so those things, you have to sit down and talk about that. And what I recommend, you know, we pray and we hope that the community will, you know, choose us and call on us. But if not, go find a funeral home that you can sit down and say, hey, I want to make my arrangements. So everything is taken care of. So then if your family don't know something or something going on, we got it in document on hard copy of what's going on. But that's important. Get some prearranged, get some life insurance.
Now explain to people, again, even with the prepaid, because, you know, and I had to do some research. Even if, so explain to people how the prepaid works and how their dollars are protected.
Yes. So there's irrevocable and revocable, guarantee, non-guarantee. So oftentimes if you decide to do a prearrangement and you pay it in full, then whatever my price is, say my price is $5,000 for a service. Mm-hmm. It locks you in. Mm-hmm. So 10 years from now, you pass away, we still got to honor that contract. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't pay it in full, or there's some other constituencies that you weren't able to fulfill that obligation, then now it's non-guaranteed. So whatever you put in is safe, but now whatever today's price is what your family have to pay. But again, it's just like a trust fund. If you make your prearrangements with us, we put them funds into a trust. We can't touch that until you pass away and your next of kin will sign off saying release the money to the funeral home. So your money is secured and there's no way we can take it unless you decide to take it out or unless you pass away. And again, if you made prayer, and this is what the community don't know as well. If you made prayer arrangements with another funeral home and you decide to switch, you can switch at the time of death or you can switch before. Mm-hmm. That money still goes with you. So it's not obligated to that funeral home. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, it's good to get that stuff done. And if you have insurance, still sit down with that funeral home, make those arrangements so they know what insurance company you got. So if something happened, they can be able to follow up.
Yeah. It's just important. Again, we try to, and even in Muskegon County, I don't know if people are familiar with freewill.com and even
absolutely
through the foundation. So we're trying to move those barriers because, man, you know, just GoFundMe is just not a way to take care of family
needs. It's not. And honestly, we I'm not going to say we don't take GoFundMe, but we don't wait on GoFundMe. That's not a source where we can say that's a reliable source, because finding out they're taking a certain percentage, and we don't want to get to posting money and pictures all over the city and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Get some insurance. If you older and you be like, well, I got all these medical. Come see me. Come see some. Listen. We can still find a way to get you some insurance, because you may not have the eligibility for life insurance, but there's burial insurance. Yeah. So those are the two different things that you can get, burial insurance or life.
Okay. Yeah, that's good again. And I think you're also reminding people it's more than
absolutely
just, you know, you do more than just the funeral.
Absolutely.
You know, there's other information. Yep. You can get life insurance.
Absolutely.
That just a lot more resources. I hope folks will take advantage, you know.
Correct.
And you know, I should tell people again, I met you a couple years ago and I'd heard about you opening the place, and I just was driving by and stopped in one day. I was like, you're not ready to open yet, but show me around. And so I appreciate you doing
absolutely.
That and the energy you're bringing to want to serve the community.
Yeah, we are blessed. I'm telling you, we are honored that we were able to open up and just pour out to the community, and they pour out to us and they say, we're going to go to the Carters. And mm-hmm. and they could have chose anywhere to go, but they chose us. So we don't take that lightly. And we looking forward to continue to serve this community with many more years to come.
Okay. Now, so what's some of the feedback you've been getting the past couple of months since you've been open? What's some of the feedback you've been receiving?
So a lot of feedback was they like our facility. One thing is people want to go somewhere where that when they invite guests to come to a service of their loved one, they want to make sure the facility is top notch. Mm-hmm. And so our facility has brought a lot of people and a lot of attention. Again, our presentation, the deceased loved one, they look very peaceful. And so that is one of the things that my craft is in, and what I'm hardcore on to make sure that loved one look nice. You can give them all the discounts you want, and you can give them the best limo and hearse. But if that loved one, if they're not happy with how that loved one look, your business will go down. And then treat them right. You got to be able to talk to people right, treat people right, and show them that you there and that you need them just as well as they need you. And so again, the feedback we have got was your staff. They're wonderful. They're doing different things. Mm-hmm. They're greeting us. A lot of people like the crowning ceremony. So we crown the deceased if they choose to. We offer them, you know, tribute blankets. We give them pillows. We got so much other stuff that we're doing differently. A lot of my colleagues down south, they do a whole shebang with the frontal. And so that's what I kind of trying to mock to bring up here, because the northern, we just traditional. So I'm just trying to bring another customized way to personalize a loved one going home,
giving people some different
options. Absolutely. That's absolutely good. Absolutely.
Now, I thought I saw, again, I was sick all last week, just okay. Terrible. Now I see you're going to be get behind the microphone as well, aren't you?
So yeah, that's something that is in the making.
Okay.
That's something in the making.
Okay. So I've seen your Facebook post.
Absolutely.
You can't talk about it now.
Nope. That's something in the making.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's something in the making.
Oh, good. Good.
But I'm grateful for every opportunity that come my way.
Okay. Good. Tell folks again, address, how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. To Carter Funeral Home, we are located at 3355 Merriam Street in Muskegon Heights. Our telephone number is 231-246-7611. And our website, you can reach us on Facebook, is Carter Funeral Home, or you can go to www.carterfamilyfuneralhome.com, and that's where you can see our website as well.
Okay. Two other things I want to make sure I touch on. You're a young guy.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about, you know, we get a lot of young listeners. We do a lot of interviews with young people starting businesses, those kind of things. You're starting, you know, you've been in a business, but you're starting your own business.
Correct.
Let's talk about first the profession side of becoming a funeral home director, the education involved, the training involved.
Absolutely.
To do that.
Absolutely. To become a mortician or funeral director, there's a couple steps that you have to take. Mm-hmm. The first step is that you want to make sure you got a high school diploma and that you go to a mortuary school. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mortuary schools around the nation. Mm-hmm. Now they have trimmed it to where you can do everything online and don't actually have to go to the school. Mm-hmm. The two closest mortuary schools we have here, located in Michigan, one is Wayne State. Mm-hmm. That's more of a 4-year. Okay. And then it's not in Michigan, but it's close to Michigan, Chicago, mm-hmm. 3 hours away. It's called Worsham, where I attended. And then you also got Malcolm X in Chicago. Okay. But Worsham has allowed you to do things online. Okay. So you only go there one time out of the whole program. Okay. The program is 16 months. Okay. So you can get right out of high school. If you got prerequisite courses already, mm-hmm. that trim down your quarter. Or if you don't have no prerequisites, they still accept you and you can do your prereqs there. Okay. So it's a 16-month program that you do online. And then once you complete your mortuary science degree, then you have to take the national board. So the national board is the arts and science. And once you pass those boards, then you move on and take the state law test, which is, you know, just about the laws and mm-hmm. stuff. And then once that you're licensed. Okay. And now that the state has now requiring you to do continued education. So you have to do like 4. Yep. Yeah. Well, the good thing was they just initiate this new law rule that now you have to do it. At first, for many years, you didn't have to.
Wow, okay.
So now the old heads, they like, oh man, listen, I ain't never did use the computer. Now they got to do it. But they making it where it's easy for everyone. So yeah, you do you graduate from school, take the test, and then you're licensed, and then you move forward. And do you, you have to do an apprenticeship as well. Mm-hmm. So you have to do a year apprenticeship. Now, the good thing about Michigan is that you can do your apprenticeship while you're in school. So when you get out, you don't have to wait to do it after you get out of school. Okay. One thing you probably didn't know, and I'm just throwing that out there now, is Colorado is the only state that you don't have to be a licensed funeral director. You don't have to go to school, do nothing. So you can go, you can just move to Colorado and open the funeral home up. It's kind of scary, but I know the state boards down there is trying to make some changes, but they was the only state that you can open a funeral home up in.
Keep that in mind if you're going to Colorado. So how long is the apprenticeship?
Apprenticeship, a year. Okay. So do a year, and I did my apprenticeship through a funeral, a predominant funeral home here. Mm-hmm. And so it's easier, and it's really nice that you can do a school online. And then you can be at work at the same time in school, and it's kind of allowing you to understand it better. So, yeah.
That's good. So now let's talk about the other side of this. And again, the checks got your name on them.
Yes, sir.
You know, the employees looking for the check on Friday, they come mm-hmm. to you. You know,
absolutely.
Everybody's calling, you know, the bills come through. You know, Mr. Carter, you know, we send you the invoice.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that side of being the business owner and just, you know, you go from, you know, and I know you kind of have owned some businesses before this,
absolutely.
But this business big, you know, your name's
yes,
on this.
Yes, absolutely.
High visible. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about that aspect and maybe some things you had to learn or deal with being the business owner.
Absolutely. So a couple of things I had to learn about being a business owner is one, the best asset to your business is your employees. Mm-hmm. You have to treat them right. You have to make sure you take care of them and being transparent and let them know what you expect of them and what they expect of you. Second would be you got to pay your bills. You got to pay your bills. You got to make sure that you're not as a new business owner. You know, it's a lot of things you want to do. You want all this marketing. You want to do all this stuff. But some things you have to just slowly get into. You do not, and that's what I had to learn. Because I was like, I gotta get my name out there, I gotta get this, I gotta get that. Oh, I gotta get this type, I gotta have my pens with my name on it, a notepad. And a lot of things would come in time. Mm-hmm. Slowly show the people that when you get in a new business, show the people your product, what you can serve, what you can give them, and show your craft. So when you give them, if you finna make some lemonade, make sure that lemonade is the best lemonade with some cold ice to it, yeah. Right? Yeah. Because again, you want to show your product and show what your service or what you're giving out and let them feel something different. Because if you give them something different, then they're going to come. It's many funeral homes around here, and I'm not against any of them.
Sure.
But again, I'm giving the community, and I will continue to give the community a different outlook, a different service. So that, again, is just... As a business owner, you have to learn that you got to pay your bills, take care of your employees. And again, don't put too much on you. But again, you got to make sure the money flow is in there too. Yeah. So how do we make money flow? You make money flow when families call on you and say they need a service. And again, in the business, and I didn't like this term, but in the business is that you are like a salesperson. Because you want to sell the highest casket. You want to sell this. You want to sell that to get the best you can get revenue out of it. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm not that type of person. I'm the person that, yeah, I want to sell. But again, I want to sell to their bracket. I want to make sure it's feasible for them. I want them to walk away knowing that they don't have to worry about a bill, or they don't have to worry about, oh, we owe him this much money. So we try to work it out where it's feasible for them. But again, you have to learn how to make sure that you have a good accountant, that you got good books round down. Because if you ever get audited by the state, you know, Michigan is starting to be a hardcore state on a lot of things with businesses. Mm-hmm. And so, again, you just got to know how to market, when to market it, what to do, who your audience is. And again, making sure that you are doing things the correct way, because you don't want you can be a bad paying bills and you don't want a family in there, not a lights cut off, and they trying to figure out how they're going to bury their loved one. So those things, you have to make sure that you're doing the correct things, because you're in the public eye, as even though it may be silent, you're in the public eye on everything you do.
Sure. First word, speaking with Eric Carter of Carter Funeral Home, a new funeral home here in Muskegon Heights. I'm glad to say here in Muskegon Heights.
Absolutely.
Located at
3355 Merriam Street.
Okay. And if you don't know what Merriam Street is, punch it in your GPS, or give you a chance to learn a little bit more about the names of the streets in your city. Mr. Carter, thank you so much for joining
us. Appreciate it.
You know, it's interesting you said about first thing, those employees. I'm preparing for a sermon Sunday, and I'm talking about leaders and followers.
Okay.
Most leadership experts say that the leader is 10 to 20% responsible for a business being successful. The other 80% is the followers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
it's interesting you say that. You know, I might quote you, but it's interesting that you say that. That was absolutely the first thing you said. Is it comes down to those employees.
Yeah. The leadership. And again, to add to that really quick is that, I represent my community. So when I'm not at work, I still represent them, right? I still represent Carter Funeral Home. And I tell my staff, before you decide to put your name down for an application, think you're going to work here, you got to understand that you got to represent me even when you're not at work. Because people are going to look at you. They're going to know, you know, hey, why would I go to Carter Funeral Home and I just saw one of his employees doing this and doing that? So we be mindful of what we do and how we do it, especially pertaining to the public. Again, leadership.
All right. That's important. Thanks so much for joining
us. I appreciate you.
You know, as I give my first, interesting to hear, I was, when I come in or the day before I kind of think of my remarks, I sit here and wrote, there's three funerals I got to try to get to tomorrow. Then I sit and I saw a fourth one, a guy I knew up in the next block growing up. So somehow I'm going to try to get to fourth funeral, which is a lot.
Yeah.
Nothing just show up and say something.
Yep, absolutely.
But I looked this up. Most common cults people make before they die. And it said, you know, people don't make long, profound statements like you think.
Absolutely.
I love you. I forgive you. Please forgive me and thank you. Most common quotes by people as so they're dying. True. So you know what? Let's not wait till we're dying.
Absolutely.
That's my final thought for today. How about I love you. I forgive you. Please forgive me and thank you. Why don't you say those to somebody this weekend? Make your life better. Make their life better. This has been Community Focus. We'll see you all next Friday.